In the very early hours of June 28, 1969, law enforcement raided the Stonewall Inn, an LGBT club in New York City's Greenwich Village. At the time, establishments like the Stonewall Inn were some of the few places where the LGBT community could gather and socialize without public harassment. In the 60s, these establishments were raided by law enforcement often, and their patrons were often handcuffed and arrested. The crowd in that club that night were effectively outlaws who were forced to live in secrecy and fear. They were labeled immoral by religious leaders, insane by doctors, and unemployable by the government. But on the morning of June 28th, in the early morning, this time, the group of LGBT patrons at the Stonewall Inn decided that they had had enough. While some were handcuffed and arrested, others resisted and instead gathered along with a crowd of supporters outside the Stonewall Inn in protest. Over the next 5 days, the crowd grew and grew, and the subsequent protest sparked a wider push for LGBT rights in the United States, an effort that continues today. Today, Matthew's Gospel tells a story of two contrasting groups of people. Those who deeply understood that mercy and healing and reconciliation was needed for themselves and for society, and the other group was comprised of those who could not see that same need. The first group of people, those who understood the need for mercy, are represented by three characters. First, in this story, Jesus engages with a tax collector. The tax collector, who Jesus summoned over to him, would have been notorious for corruption and generally morally suspect. But Jesus calls him anyway. He calls him away from corruption and sin into his community. And the Pharisees object to this. The second is a leader of the synagogue who comes to Jesus, kneels before him. And the leader of the synagogue, his name is Matthew. Matthew simply says that the tax collector's name was Matthew. The leader of the synagogue, we don't get his name, he simply kneels before Jesus and says, "Jesus, if you will come to my home, I know that you can raise my daughter from the dead." Jesus and his disciples follow this man home, but before they arrive at his house, a woman who's been hemorrhaging for 12 years reaches out to touch the fringe of his cloak. These three most different members of society, which include both a poor and an outcast, and also the rich and powerful, are united by their most basic need for mercy. The contrasting group at hand was the Pharisees, who questioned this immoral and unemployable company who Jesus was keeping. When these religious leaders question him, Jesus simply replies, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick do." Now, most of the Pharisees were sincere people engaged in an active struggle of living the way that they believed God wanted them to live. Some of the actions Jesus took in his ministry also violated their most holy laws. So what Jesus did to engage with Matthew the tax collector, and then coming into contact with a bleeding woman, and then a dead body of the girl, these all violated the Pharisees' most holy laws before God. So it would naturally follow that they would question him about this. But Jesus's comment to the Pharisees about the need for a physician was less a rebuke about their laws, because he, as a Jew, would have been fully invested in these laws too. But his phrase about needing a physician was an invitation into a new perspective. Matthew's gospel this morning reminds us that there are those in our society and in our midst who are deeply aware of the need for the great physician, and there are those who don't have this perspective. I think each of us has seasons or parts of our lives where we understand, where we are even desperate for healing, or times when we can see more clearly that the world around us needs healing. Other times it can be more difficult to see. We live in a culture that encourages us to repress the reality of our failures and trespasses. Our politicians and leaders refuse to recognize weakness or fault, and instead point fingers at everyone else, banking on the rest of us to be too distracted to notice. There are two groups of people who can't even agree on what healing and wholeness would look like. When we fail to see our own need for mercy, when we fail to see the places in society that need healing and reconciliation, and maybe even how we might be consciously or subconsciously participating in that, we are failing to come before God. The Stonewall Inn protests during the summer of 1969 brought into light a painful and urgent need for mercy and restoration for the LGBT community. And today, there is still so much hatred, so much vitriol, and so much need for Jesus's mercy. To speak plainly, it is we who are not well. Our planet is not well, our society is not well, and most of our bodies are not well. Church is one of the few places where we can come together individually and collectively and just acknowledge this, that we are not well. The contemporary theologian Amy Julia Becker writes this. She says, "Each one of us comes to Jesus with our own particular places of brokenness and wounding. Each one of us will receive some measure of healing that we can carry into the world, even as the scars from those wounded places remain. We can bring our sin and shame, our perfectionism, addictions, distractions, and heartache to God. We can bring our history of racism and injustice and dehumanization and disregard for God's good creation. One of the paths towards healing begins with confessing our shortcomings. The general confession is back in the liturgy after its absence during the Easter season. These words of the general confession, they bind us together as we confess that it's us, it's we who have turned away from God's vision of healing, and we who ask for mercy together. As the great physician, Jesus invites both honesty, and then he brings us pardon and healing. The religious leaders in Matthew's gospel have an illness, which is that they believe that they are perfectly well. Let's not do that. Let's be willing to see the places and people in our world who are begging for mercy. Jesus gives us a picture of healing. And not only was it for the bleeding woman and the religious leader and the tax collector, but that picture is for you and me. Jesus invites us to go to that place of brokenness and need and to sit with it. When we fall to our knees and confess our need to God, we turn away from the hatred and division that's inscribed into our culture, and we turn toward forgiveness and newness of life. We need the great physician, the power of God, and the commitment and connection to one another in order to be made well. May it be so.